This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
It is by far the biggest story of the day. In fact, it is a story so big and of such great importance that we must talk about it here on Viewpoint today, even though on its face, it seems to have relatively little connection to the United States of America and to the Christian world. On the other hand, it has massive significance if we understand the dynamics of what is taking place. And that has to do with the arrest of the founder and CEO of Telegram, Pavel Durov. The founder and CEO of the messaging service, Telegram, was arrested as he disembarked his private jet on the tarmac at Le Bourget Airport in Paris, France. A part of the National Directorate of the French Judicial Police placed him under arrest on an arrest warrant, and yet he is a French-Russian dual national. So on what basis did they place him under arrest? The Jerusalem Post tells us the story, but they're not the only ones. Newsmax tells us the story. WorldNet Daily tells us the story. It's all over the world. This is the biggest story of the day. And I hope, my dear friends, that you will stay tuned to understand the dynamics of what is taking place. It is of great significance around the world. Global Talk carried a piece called "In Europe, Growing Calls for Musk to Be Arrested." In fact, the heads of many of the most prominent communication channels on the internet are facing arrest worldwide, but particularly by the authorities of various countries as part of NATO. So the question that I have for us today is NATO becoming like former Soviet Russia? The very people that supposedly are defending against Russian authority, are they actually carrying out the very things that NATO supposedly was there to protect against unfettered Russian authority and domination? It seems that that is the case. What does it mean? Does it have any implications for you and for me? It has vast implications, friends, because what is happening is not only the cutting out of free speech, but the corralling of all speech to make sure that it is controlled to be only in conformity with governmental viewpoints. So let me ask you a leading question as we enter into the program today. What if, then, this is merely one great effort to move forward in the establishment of a one-world Western global government? And in order to do that, they must move forward with the control of speech. Not only the control of political speech, but the control of all speech. That they deem that the New World Government and its emissaries, whether it be France, whether it be the UK, whether it be the USA, whether it be Germany, or all of them combined, deem to be a threat against the new world order that they conceive to be on the near edge of conclusion by 2030. That's where we're heading today, and I'm welcoming you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. What we're talking about here today is something of great significance. In one sense, it's of equal or greater significance even to the presidential election, because it has vast implications, not only in France, where the founder of Telegram was arrested, but all over Europe, and yes, indeed, in the United States of America. This is a very big issue. Yet Macron, the president of France, says, oh, it's not political. So how are they working to try to make it not political? By relabeling, coming up with ideas to suggest that there are various criminal activities that are taking place to mask or hide the real motivation for the arrest of Pavel Durov, the founder and CEO of the messaging service Telegram. And they're after the CEO of Rumble. He barely escaped arrest in France. They're after Elon Musk. They're after anyone, whether it be these various internet services, digital services for communication, or whether it be pastors, broadcasters, publishers, all are at risk for exactly the same reasons. In fact, religious freedom is on the line. In fact, this may very well be one of the foremost driving forces of religious persecution coming down the pike. Do I have your attention yet? I hope so. And so today we're going to take a further look at this. And again, I'm so glad that you have joined us. It's conversation as always with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms, hopefully. So let's take a look at this, what's happening here. I call this the Sovietization of NATO. It's the NATO companies, countries, the so-called countries that are, shall we say, the former Christian countries. They're the countries that supposedly are supporting democratic freedom, the freedoms that we talk about, for instance, in our Bill of Rights, those countries. And they're the ones that are taking the lead in mandating conformity to their political and religious viewpoints as it relates to human behavior, as it relates to cultures, what is accepted in the culture, the multiculturalism, religious pluralism, political correction positions. If you do not conform, you're eligible to be imprisoned. That's really what this is about. And so, hopefully again, we have your attention. On Sunday, the CEO of Rumble, a video sharing platform, vowed to fight for free speech via a post on X after he made it clear he had just left Europe. He said, I'm a little bit late for this arrest business. His name is Pavlovsky. He said, I've just safely departed from Europe. France has threatened Rumble, and now they have crossed a red line by arresting Telegram CEO Pavel Durov for not censoring speech in accordance with the new global order. We'll be back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Are we looking at the Sovietization of NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, that was founded as a group of nations to protect the free world from Russia that was perceived to be communistic, authoritarian, and against freedom and democracy? Wait till you hear what Russia is saying about this. It's pretty amazing, friends. You've heard the phrase, the kettle calling the pot black. Well, you're about to hear it in some very unusual ways. As we opened up today, the Telegram founder, Mr. Durov, and his brother, in the wake of the Russian government's crackdown after mass pro-democracy protests that rocked Moscow at the end of 2011 and 2012. So that's when they started. Durov is 39 years of age, was the subject of an arrest warrant in France on allegations that his platform has been used for money laundering, drug trafficking, and other offenses. In other words, what France is seeking to do is to control everything that happens via and on and through Telegram. And if you don't submit, you'll pay the price. That's arrest and maybe 20 years in prison. That's what Mr. Durov is facing. But he and his brother, in the wake of the Russian government's crackdown after mass pro-democracy protests that rocked Moscow 10, 12 years ago, Russian authorities, to clamp down on the digital space, adopted regulations that forced internet providers to block websites and cell phone operators to store call records and messages that could be shared with security services in Russia. In the increasingly repressive environment, Telegram now and its pro-privacy rhetoric offered a convenient way for Russians to communicate and share news. In 2018, Russian media watchdog Roshkomnadzor moved to block Telegram over its refusal to hand over encryption keys. Now, that's where Russia was coming in, trying to shut down or control Telegram and its CEO. Western governments have often criticized Telegram for lack of content moderating on the messaging service, which experts say opens up the messaging platform for potential use in money laundering, drug trafficking, and allowing the sharing of content linked to sexual exploitation of minors. Well, virtually all internet can be used that way. They don't like these guys, though, because there's too much freedom. Freedom to do what? Freedom to come against the government's mandates for control of human communications. Period. In 2022, Germany issued fines of $5 million against the operators of Telegram for failing to comply with German law. In other words, Germany wanted to control everything as well. Russian government officials expressed outrage, though. Listen to this. Russian government officials now have expressed outrage at Durov's arrest, with some highlighting what they said was the West's double standards on freedom of speech. The West's double standards on freedom of speech. What they're actually saying is that the Western governments, NATO, the resurrecting Roman Empire of the Book of Daniel, is actually doing what they complained of Russia doing. And Russia says, we're not even doing near what they're trying to do to control people. Normally what we would say, instead of using a double standard, we would say it's like the kettle calling the pot black. It's another way of saying it. Yet Macron, the president of France, says, oh, this isn't political at all. In other words, they're trying to frame it as if it's just simply legal issues that everybody can agree with, because everybody can agree with people not wanting others to defraud them and not willing to allow people to engage in sexual, choreographing sexual behavior that is everybody disassociates with in our cultures and so on. But that isn't really what the issue is. The real issue is government control. So, The alleged offenses include terrorism, narcotic supply, fraud, money laundering, and receiving stolen goods. Now, how does Mr. Durov receive stolen goods via this online telegram? He doesn't receive stolen goods that way. He is not encouraging terrorism. He's not supplying narcotics. He's not engaged in any fraud or active or money laundering. Now, there might be some people who do that on his site, but that's not what he's doing. But to use those things as a means of controlling speech, France arrested Mr. Durov. Now, they claim the businessman could face up to 20 years in prison. They say he spreads violence and terrorism on Telegram. On Telegram, he allowed an incalculable number of offenses and crimes to be committed, which he did nothing to moderate. Is he responsible for governing what other people are doing? Hardly. Russia's representative to international organizations in Vienna tweeted today, "Some naive persons still don't understand that if they play more or less visible role in international information space, it is not safe for them to visit countries which move towards much more totalitarian societies." Do you realize what this Russian representative said? He accused NATO of being a totalitarian society, France of being a totalitarian society, even though they claim liberty, equality, and fraternity. They don't live that way. The government doesn't believe that. The government of Germany doesn't believe that. The government of the UK doesn't believe that. The UK, France, Germany, and Western Europe countries are becoming the worst engines to control speech. Why? Because they have to collectivize power. Why? Because they are moving inexorably to establish a one-world government, a one-world order, whether you want to call it the Great Reset, established by Klaus Schwab to take place in 2030, whether you want to call it Agenda 2030, established by the United Nations, they're all the same thing. All moving in lockstep, almost, to establish a one-world Western government. Tucker Carlson spoke in on this. He tweeted that Durov was arrested for trying to exercise free speech. And that's exactly true. Pavel Durov, he said, sits in a French jail tonight. A living warning to any platform owner who refuses to censor the truth at the behest of governments and intel agencies. He said, darkness is descending fast on the formerly free world. Did you hear that? Darkness is descending fast on the formerly free world. That's what we've been trying to say here on Viewpoint for a long time now. When we go back to my book, King of the Mountain, we talked about globalism as the anti-biblical, anti-Christ government. When my book, Antichrist, came out, we talked about it again. Globalism, the anti-Christ government. In my book, Messiah, we talked about it again. Globalism, the engine of the anti-Christ global government. In my book, When Persecution Comes, we talk about it again. Why? Because, friends, this is what's happening, and professing Christians and their pastors don't get it. And if they do get it in theory, They don't know what to do about it in practice. They don't know how to relate to it. And they're afraid to talk to their people about it because they're afraid they might be called be accused of some kind of confederation of unrighteousness and getting away from the gospel and so on. No, globalism is the anti-gospel message. That's what it is. And pastors need to realize that. Darkness descending fast on the formerly free world. Telegram is based in Dubai, was founded by Russian-born Durov, who left Russia in 2014 after he refused to comply with demands to shut down opposition communities on his social media platform, which, by the way, he sold. Durov, who is estimated by Forbes to have a fortune of about $15 billion, said some governments had sought to pressure him, but the app, which has now 900 million active users, should remain a neutral platform and not a player in geopolitics. But that's exactly what NATO wants it to be, a player in geopolitics that they can control for their own power, perks, and position. In other words, to do exactly with the Telegram, with X, with Rumble, what the Democrat Party has done through our legacy media in this country, to use the media as the government's engine of communication, which can be completely edited, controlled for what is disseminated. Friends, that is what happened with Pravda, Russia's state-governed newspaper. Pravda meant truth, but it wasn't truth. It was what the government wanted you to believe was true. In other words, complete control. That's what we're talking about here. So, a Telegram CEO, Pavel Durov, was arrested as part of a judicial inquiry with no political motive, said Macron, the French president. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's all political. All political. We'll talk about Elon Musk in the second part of the program, or the third part of the program, second half of the program today. I want to take you to some words coming from my latest book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. Chapter 4, called Portraits of Persecution. The enormity of the issue, the gruesomeness of some persecution events, and our natural inclination to turn away from difficult situations all keep Christians in the West from fully embracing the reality of persecution and fully seeing how they themselves might be experiencing it. The Bible says persecution will not cease in this life, but will continue until Christ's return. Persecution to many is an unseeable reality. It's unseeable particularly, maybe exclusively, because Christians in the West, because we do not want to see it or admit its reality even in our midst, even when it's happening right in front of our eyes. A recent article published by Christian History Magazine presented the problem we face with the title, Start Seeing Persecution. The following are a series of excerpts revealing our not-so-righteous rejection of the reality of real persecution in our very midst, is what they said. Many Christians in the West either deny or are ignorant of it, but persecution is part of present reality. It has many forms: political oppression, ethnic hatred, religious prejudice, and outright hatred of Christians. Now, I want to make the book available to you again, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. It has not yet been released in the open market. It's only available to you via this program and our website. $25 will put it in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. Call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at $6 for postage and handling. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries.
on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. Freedom of religion is America's first freedom. Freedom of speech, arguably, is America's second major freedom, secured by the Second Amendment, which a lot of people like to say is America's first freedom, but it's not. The Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, was placed in our Constitution for the purpose of securing the other freedoms, starting with freedom of religion. It was a way of protecting the people or helping them to protect themselves against government usurpation of power, control, and taking away the basic freedoms that human beings should be granted and have been granted by God himself. So, that having been said, generally speaking, persecution happens where Christians are seen as a threat. A threat to what? Well, a threat to prevailing religious beliefs, especially where religious belief equals cultural, political, or ethnic identity. Threat to social stability, like family or community unity, or threat to political allegiances. Governments become persecutors when allegiance to the government clashes with Christians' ultimate allegiance to Christ, especially when the state seeks to be the ultimate authority and demands total allegiance. So how does this happen? The attempt to keep Christianity from being fully Christian, as when the name of Christ can't be mentioned in public prayer, or functions as a subtle form of harassment and discrimination. This harassment regulates Christianity to a private life and keeps Christian influence from the public forum in hope that it will merely fade away. Many governments apply pressure hoping to stamp out Christianity altogether. Some Western countries allow religious freedom but impose laws that render religion ineffective in influencing public life, morals, or policy. And that's exactly what's happening. That's why this case with the founder of Telegram and the founder of Rumble and now Elon Musk, who has taken over Twitter and now calls it X, these cases actually are not just political freedom cases, they are actually religious freedom cases. First, the enemy comes in like a little fog on little cat feet and establishes their foundation based on political things or claiming them to be, well, we're protecting the public against illegal behavior and so on. Well, you can't control all illegal behavior. In fact, our governments don't even want to control the worst illegal behavior, which is the killing off of our young with intentionality. They don't even want to touch that. So they're not sincere. They're just not sincere at all. What they're sincere about is controlling your beliefs, your understanding, your thoughts, and your community ability to communicate them, and even to believe them in actuality other than just deep in the recesses of your mind. If you communicate them, then you're already in violation. That's what's really happening here. So the beginning, this is a massive assault. You could say it's a threshold assault together as the NATO nations, represented by France now, but embraced by the UK, embraced by Germany, embraced by the other NATO nations that supposedly stood for freedom and democracy. No, they don't. Any more than Kamala Harris stands for democracy. She doesn't stand for democracy. She wants to rule the people. She doesn't want to serve the people. She wants to rule the people. She wants to cut off freedoms in the name of democracy, which is the ultimate hypocrisy. She has the same attitude and the same spirit that Macron of France has, that the new prime minister of Britain has, and so on. That's what we're facing. And if you cannot see it, you're blind in one eye and refuse to see out of the other. And it will come and hit you like a ton of bricks shortly. So these kinds of things must be resisted. Does that mean that resistance will ultimately pan out and you'll be able to forever protect against these kinds of abuses? No, it doesn't mean that at all. Because they are going to take place. But at least for now, we ought to do what we can and support those who are attempting to do what they can to protect the environment for free speech. Because if that's not protected, your faith means almost nothing, at least in terms of your ability to live it out and speak it out anywhere in the world, including the United States of America. Because that will become impossible because of government regulation. Now, that having been said, again, I want to make available to you the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times, because it will help us to understand how these things are developing and what it looks like. And then, not only what it looks like and how things are developing, but also then how you and I can respond in our own lives, in our own families, how we are to deal with these things. For instance, three chapters dealing with parents, families. What do? The patience of the saints, prevailing faith among persecution, provision amid persecution. I mean, the book is so complete with understanding of what we should do about discipleship, persecution within the church. Within the church, not at the church or to the church, but within the church. How to pastor within perilous times. And then talking about the beast of blasphemy. What does that look like? And pressure. The engine of persecution. Do you realize that what France is doing here and the NATO countries, they are bringing pressure upon those who seek to have platforms to enable people to communicate freely? They don't want it. They claim that they're engines of democracy, but they are not. They're engines of despotism. It is like the Sovietization of NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. So, the book, When Persecution Comes, $25 on our website, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. Okay. Now, in terms of identifying methods of persecution, I think it could be said that there are just as many and varied sources of persecution. There are many and multiplied methods by which people are persecuted for their faith in Christ, whether overtly or covertly. In fact, I think perhaps most of these are listed in this list that I'm going to share with you here very quickly. So in a world and culture in which victimhood is rewarded, even idolized, our flesh, our carnal nature, is disposed to see or label every difference of opinion as persecution. Kind of like finding the monster under every bed. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about a persecution complex. So, here is a list of how many ways in which persecution comes. Attacking Christian practices like Bible reading, prayer, and so on. That's happening via zoning ordinances. It's also happening even by people who were standing praying silently outside and across the street from an abortion clinic and arrested in the UK for doing just that. Not even saying a word. Censorship. That's what we're talking about here today. Censorship. Criminalization of Christianity. So if you speak something that the government tells you you're not able to speak about, for instance, in China, they have exactly that. In their churches, in the three self-patriotic churches, they can't talk about healing, the God that heals. That's taboo. There are things about the Bible they can't preach, teach. How about claiming threats to democracy? If you claim something is a threat to democracy and the country or some government doesn't like it, then you become the odd man out and you will be arrested, maybe imprisoned. Cultural mandates to conform or be ostracized. Compelling use of false or deceptive words and language. We have that all over the place. Coercion for control via political correctness, multiculturalism or religious pluralism. Coupled with issues like parenting, medical care, abortion, sex changes, environmentalism, vaccines. Discrimination, it's another one. Diversity, inclusivity, tolerance, financial control, genocidal threats, government sanctions, bribery threats, globalism, compelling conformity. That's exactly what this case is about that we've been talking about. Globalism, the spirit of globalism, compelling conformity. The NATO nations are the resurrecting Roman Empire, the nations that Daniel referred to in his prophecy, they are now formed and ready to do their damage. And this is just a partial list, friends. I hope you'll get a copy of the book when persecution comes. It'll be very enlightening, and you will find as you move forward in the book, it won't just be informative, it will be transformative. It will encourage your heart because there will be hope ahead. We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
And now we move from the arrest of Mr. Durand there in France. And the bare escape of the CEO of Rumble, flying out of Europe just in time to escape the arresting authorities there. And now we move to Elon Musk. What's happening with him? Well, leftists in the United Kingdom and Europe are doubling down on censorship now, calling for the arrest of ex-owner Elon Musk and the cancellation of the ex-social media platform to silence opposing views. That came from former White House and Pentagon official Douglas McKinnon on Sunday, yesterday. As someone who pays close attention to the politics and the media in the United Kingdom and Europe, he said, I begin to notice a shocking narrative emanating from a growing number on the left. They're calling for the arrest of Elon Musk as well as the cancellation of X. Surely, he said, I thought, these people can't be serious. But they are. And they're deadly serious, he says. For them, Musk and X have become public enemy number one. The UK and Europe have been watching Musk like hawks to censor free speech amid Russia's war in Ukraine, the ongoing Israeli war on Iranian-backed terrorist proxies Hamas and Hezbollah, and the rise of terrorist and extremist activity endangering public safety. Also, the EU's Thierry Breton, a French businessman who is the European Commissioner for Internal Market, sent a letter to Musk warning him against spreading disinformation before an X Spaces interview with Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump earlier this month, which Musk denounced as anti-democratic. You see, they did not in France and in Britain, they did not want Elon Musk to interview Donald Trump. They didn't want his message to get out in Europe. You see what's happening? They call it disinformation. No, it's not disinformation. It's just what they want to diss. It's the information they want to diss because they don't like it. This is very, very dangerous. Why have so many on the left and in the media seemingly fallen in love with censoring free speech and canceling those who hold different opinions from themselves? The writer said, I am amazed that Democrat liberals and the media claim to be all about free and protected speech. But this has become a chilling and dangerous trend. And I'm old enough to remember when Democrats, liberals, and the media raged against totalitarian regimes silencing the voices of the opposition. And now they're calling for arrest. It seems they seemingly choose to weaponize censorship and lawfare for their own means. Can you see how this cancel culture thing has gone way beyond what we originally were seeing as cancel culture? It has now become an engine of governmental control and mandate of conformity to certain kinds of governmental mandates that not only deal with cultural issues, but deal with your Christian faith. Musk's defensive speech and calling out unfettered migration as a root cause of violent crime has freedom of speech under attack, said McKinnon. Could these forces on the left actually stop Musk? He wrote. Could they arrest and imprison him? Could they cancel X and silence the voices of hundreds of millions of citizens around the world? I would not be so fast to say no. These are world leaders, powerful far-left media sites, and far-left multi-billionaires collectively marshaling their might against him. He said, we live in increasingly perilous times. Wow. Did you hear that, my friends? This is not a Christian writer. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy. In the last days, perilous times shall come. We are in those days, whether you want to admit it or not. There are many pastors that I follow who are trying to put down the idea that we're living in such times. They're trying to paint a Pollyanna view of things, like this too shall pass and so on. Well, let's not focus on any of those kinds of things because that's not the gospel. Friends, we're talking about the complete eradication of the gospel in terms of its ability to be communicated. We're talking about the total lack of freedom for pastors and broadcasters and authors to be able to speak concerning the issues that Jesus himself brought up, that the Bible talks about, issues of righteousness and truth. Canada has been doing this for a very long time, snuffing out, refusing to allow Christian broadcasting agencies and so on to say anything about the practice of homosexuality, for instance. And it's increasing. Canada is becoming one of the worst in this regard. To shut down all free speech that doesn't conform to Mr. Trudeau's hyper-liberal viewpoint of the world, which includes shutting down true Christian speech, calling for obedience to God. You must obey the government rather than God, and when the government seeks to compel you to do that which God says he hates or finds an abomination, you're in trouble. Perilous times, indeed. More than you can possibly imagine. So when I said as we opened this program today that what we were going to be talking about was the biggest issue of this day, this very day, it supersedes any other issue to be talked about today, including issues with regard to Israel, including issues with regard to the presidential election, as important as those things are. This, my friends, has come to the fore in such a way that it is literally a manifestation of a rising global government unifying to shake its fist against God and against people to be able to communicate truth, ideas, thoughts, persuasions. The only thing left is a radical dictatorship, a global government in which people will repose their final trust, ruled by a counterfeit Christ figure who will rule with an iron fist, and anyone who opposes will be deemed to be unworthy to exist on the planet. I hope you're listening. In my book, When Persecution Comes, a chapter called Portraits of Persecution, one section is talking about religious freedom in the world, a report that came out in 2023. Religious freedom was violated in countries where more than 4.9 billion people live in 61 countries. Of the 71 countries with the highest persecution, the perpetrators are 49 by authoritarian governments, 21 by Islamist extremism, and 4 by ethno-religious nationalism. Who would have ever believed, though, that of the 49 authoritarian governments should be added to that the nations of NATO, that purport to be engines of freedom and democracy, that are turning out to be authoritarian governments? As I said, this thing is moving very quickly. Even Pope Francis has spoken in on this. He says conditions for Christians are worse now than they were in the days of the early church. There's a UN scheme to make Christians criminals. Dozens of nations dominated by Islam are pressing the United Nations to adopt an anti-defamation plan that would make Christians criminals under the international law. It's wrapped in the guise of a UN resolution called Combating Defamation of Religions. It's an attempt to criminalize Christianity, and it's being pushed by the 57-member Organization of Islamic Conference Nations. The report states that the UN Commission on Human Rights, 53 members, voted to adopt the resolution earlier this year with opposition from the United States and the European Union. But that's going to change. The ACLJ, American Center for Law and Justice, stated this radical proposal would outlaw Christianity. It would make the proclamation of your faith an international crime. That's what's happening. There are more specifics that we could lay out here, and I don't want to get into more details to cloud the issue. The greater issue is we need to understand what is happening right before us as leading forces, powers, that have developed communication channels, platforms. Far be it from me to understand all of that. I don't understand it. I've never been on X in my life, but millions and millions of people are. It's a platform that's used for communication. And when these platforms are taken over through massive censorship by government authorities to imprison people, their founders and so on, because they refuse to conform to the governmental mandates, to refuse to talk about certain things, to not allow criticisms of countries and governments that are not acting democratically and so on, that are not, and also with regard, of course, to the cultural issues, abortion, homosexuality, transgenderism, all of those kinds of issues, you will be prohibited from discussing. That's what they want to shut down. And when they shut that down, together with it, they will shut down your ability to express the cause of Christ in all of its biblical manifestations. That's why this is so essential. So it becomes then a massive form of persecution. That's why when I wrote the book, When Persecution Comes, the subtitle is called Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. And they're right here, my friend. The book is right on time. The various 12 or 15 people that endorsed this book across the country were in one accord saying, wow, a book could not be more timely. I hope you'll get your copy and get it soon and begin to talk about this with your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, yes, even your pastor. $25 on our website, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $5 for postage and, $6 for postage and handling. We had to up it because of the costs. And become a partner, friends. Do it today. This is tough business. Join us. Make a difference. God bless.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.